Good morning. Baba Mosey Matsamela, President of the Universal Negro Improvement Association, and Baba Singor of UNIA will share the spirit of Kwanzaa with us. Another giant has fallen. We will lift the spirit of human rights activist David Mott. Stay tuned for What's at Stake. Good morning and welcome to What's at Stake. I'm your host, Dr. Marsha Adebayo, and I'm with you the fourth Wednesday of each month. Before we begin our program, please allow me to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, and Blessed New Year. We pray that all of your dreams will come true. I'm joined today with my friend and colleague, Denise Young. Denise has joined me on a number of times on this show. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Marsha and WPFW fam and guests.
Thank you. Unfortunately, as we start today, we also have sad news. A dear friend of WPFW, David Mott, a celebrated SEIU union leader, a member of the board of directors of the Bethesda African Cemetery Coalition, a champion for the Poor People's Campaign, passed away recently. Denise, please help our listeners who either knew David or were unacquainted with him understand the amazing contribution he made to our community during his lifetime. Denise?
Well, Marsha, I have to say, first of all, wishing David's family and loved ones peace during what is an unimaginable time. Our dear comrade and friend was the epitome of leaders are made, not born. But I'm going to take the liberty to amend that quote just a little bit and say that, however, our leaders are born exactly when the world needs and requires them. And that was so true for David. By every definition, David was a rebel. He was protesting the Vietnam War while in college. He knew that being a critical thinker and agitator is what was needed, even if his college didn't agree, and actually found himself being kicked out of college in Indiana. As the story goes, David was called into the dean's office. They said, "Hey, David, we don't like you and you don't like us, so let's part ways. Goodbye." You know, it's interesting because that just sounds like such a fitting conversation in terms of, you know, David would receive that kind of conversation being so, you know, very, very simple in terms of what he believed and what he didn't believe in. And so that he received that kind of conversation says that that's exactly what he was giving to them. No nonsense.
Right.
He eventually returned to school at Johnson State College in Vermont and immediately became involved in the environmental movement and vice president of the Vermont Public Interest Research Group. And it was during that time that he was engaged in really what does it mean to analyze and critique these capitalistic systems. In the 70s, David was a reporter for the Rutland Herald, not surprising at all. Because one, David believed in the people's voice and people's stories, and two, he was incredibly efficient with his pen. And again, this idea of being where you're supposed to be, he would later join the newspaper's budding union. Several years later, would lead a co-strike and then eventually take over the job as an organizer. David was quoted as once saying, "Workers deserve better than him. I am better than him, and I'm going to become a union leader." And that's exactly what he did. He would later on continue reporting, but then also becoming a part of Connecticut Local 1199, excuse me, reporting on Connecticut Local 1199. And then later would become a part of, you know, SEIU. So he just really had this amazing career. But again, just talking about inherently who David was before he would even sign on to his apprenticeship as a union organizer. He actually was at a crossroads in terms of whether he was going to be doing that or going to law school. And he chose organizing. And we are all better for it. With every campaign, every strike, every field assignment across the nation, and even in Canada, David was forging a 40-year career, a life's mission to protect, safeguard, and promote the average worker. And so it was his life's mission. He so generously gave of his time and energy and knowledge to other organizations, including the Bethesda African Cemetery Coalition, the Democratic Socialists of America, the Maryland Poor People's Campaign, and Third Act. And so I just want to say that I hope this gives our listeners a glimpse of who David was and how much a loss it is to not just us as a community, but the world.
Right. David was an amazing person that I think, you know, one of the first things you notice about David, of course, was his integrity, because as he was always centered in that integrity. And if you don't mind, Denise, I would just like to give my own personal tribute to David, because before we get to the other two guests who will talk about David, the first time I met David, I was protesting in front of the cemetery in Bethesda, Maryland, the Moses African Cemetery. And it was a very violent and very difficult period of that struggle where, you know, where trucks were constantly coming in to desecrate and take out all kinds of funerary objects and other, I assume, human remains. And the community would try to stop these trucks from destroying a sacred space. And in one instance, I think I was sort of stepping in front of one of the trucks, and the security officer gave the driver the order to run over me. And I was literally trying to explain to the driver why he shouldn't kill me. And then the security guard became very frustrated with all this conversation. And instead of just running me over, it was the driver was trying to figure out what to do. And so the security officer decided that he was just going to throw my body into the engine of the Mack truck. And the next thing I feel is these hands coming out of nowhere, pushing me out of harm's way. And avoiding obviously an imminent death on my part. And after I sort of shook my head and sort of recovered what was going on, I looked at this man and I said, "What is your name?" And he said, "My name is David Mott." That's my David Mott story. And every time not every time, but a couple of times a year, he would remind me, "Remember, I saved your life, Marcia." And I deeply appreciated that, and my family did too. So I know we have other people who wanted to provide a tribute to this amazing human being. Denise?
Yes. So this morning, two of David's comrades in different aspects of the work of justice, Reverend Segun Adebayo, pastor of Macedonia Baptist Church, and Michael Puskar with the Maryland Poor People's Campaign, are here to share with the WPFW family how they knew and worked with David. Good morning and welcome, Reverend Adebayo and Mike.
Good morning. Good morning, Sister Denise.
So you both have heard the really condensed bio of David. And by the way, thank you to Third Act, who actually has this information on its website. So I do appreciate how thorough the information is. And so thank you. But even truncated, it tells an incredible story. Reverend Adebayo, I'm going to start with you. Tell us how you and David became comrades in social justice work.
You know, that's a good question. I just remember that, David started showing up for PACC activities like so many other people did. And in time, he would come with his guitar. he loves to play his guitar. You know, I describe David as a Renaissance man. He was very, very dependable. As Marcia said, a man of great integrity and intellect and commitment, commitment and, very generous, with his experience, with his mind. And he's one that is forever, hopeful that there's always a way. And That's how I got to know him, and we became very close. Soon he became, a member of the board of directors of, BACC. He was always showing up, and we might not always agree, but he just has a way of bringing you into an understanding of what he's thinking, of what the best way out. And as I said. And I also want to say that he's a strategic thinker, And, finally, let me just say he was my, food buddy. he loves what they describe as ethnic food, my own, food from my homeland, West African cuisine. So we find the restaurant in Gettysburg. He and I will, from time to time, we'll go together and then we eat. And then at the end, we'll be fighting on who was going to take the check and pay. That was the kind of person he was. We will soon, miss him so much. His passing was just a shock. In fact, I called him 2 days before we heard the news. I said, David, I'm back from my trip. Call me, let's find another restaurant in Gettysburg. Let's go give it a test ride. And the next we knew was that he's ascended to the rank of ancestors. So may his soul rest in peace.
May his soul rest in peace. Thank you, Reverend Adebayo. Mike, you worked with David through his time with the Maryland Poor People's Campaign. And having worked with PPC, I know that has done some important work in the state and specifically the counties. Can you give us an example of how that work might have been different if David had not had his hands in the pot? Like, what was David's magic touch?
Sure. Thank you, Denise. Originally started in 2018, the Poor People's Campaign was revived. So it was Maryland Poor People's Campaign at the same time. And so at that point, it was more about the county level organizing, just where David and I were working together and things. And it was evident from the beginning how many pots he had his hands in with all the different organizations to help. And after I eventually became a tri-chair and the different projects were being created during COVID, well, actually before that, it was during COVID, we really needed a way to get around and do things without being out and doing things, so to speak. So he was a help in finding ways when we had a flyer for resource information where people could go for COVID assistance, various things and vaccines and all that. He was a great help in bringing us ideas of where we could go, various soup kitchens maybe and other meal providers and such, churches, whatever it may have been that we could have put the flyers in different bags that they were handing out, or where we could canvass for that, or for getting out the vote. And even in those times, I didn't realize how much David had done in his life and how broad his reach was. In March 2nd of last year, 2024, we had had to have a big, huge rally in Annapolis. And that was something that was being done nationwide in all the capitals. And so he was the outreach coordinator for that. He did so much for that. It was unbelievable. And that really showcased how much of an octopus he was in getting his arms in all these different organizations. Yeah. And by extension, all the organizations he had connections to with those organizations. And it was of immense help. He wasn't able to join that event on March 2nd because he had already had plans before the date was decided. But nonetheless, he had, his light shone through the whole thing because it was amazing how much he did with that. I would be remiss if I didn't also mention that back in 2021, I think it was in September, how BACC and Maryland PBC had the event on stolen land. And that showcased how he brought people together and how he was able to get national PBC involved, because Bishop Barber and Reverend Liz zoomed in and spoke on behalf of that action.
You know, that thank you for mentioning that, because that was it was an incredible opportunity. It was an incredible show of support by the national organization, but it also speaks volumes about who David was and his, it's not just his connection, but also how people responded to him, right? And to be able to make that connection, because we know that the national organizational leadership is so incredibly busy, and there are so many pressing things happening across the country that need their attention, and you know, they're people, so they can't be in all of these different places. But you know, through David's word, through his connection, through his understanding of the import of what was happening with BACC and the stolen land, they showed up. You know, I had the pleasure of also working with David, as we probably have figured out. But I've, in that time, I've also heard him described as an organizer's organizer. What do you think that means, and how do you interpret that?
Basically, I'd say it comes down to, like Pastor Shea Gunn said, was that he's a Renaissance man. So he was able to, you know, take on all aspects of everything. You know, I recently said that he was the music and the passion and the energy, and he filled so many roles within the organization, within Poor People's Campaign alone, not to mention everything he did with the other organizations. So, you know, he, again, with his music, he was fantastic with that. So he participated with the Theater Musicology and Movement Arts. He was our partner coordinator at the state level, for reasons I just gave. He was on the state coordinating committee, and he was just doing everything. And the final thought I have on that is that everybody else doing their organizing and him mentoring them, everybody said he was a mentor. Them being organizers, he's the organizer, because he would be able to come in and fill in whatever cracks were left, made so big, whatever hadn't been picked up, and he'd be able to do that. And so, yeah, that's how I interpret that.
You mentioned, I thought you said Theo Musicology. Is that what I heard you say?
Theo Musicology, yes.
Yeah. So Justin, for people out there that's listening, can you, and may not know that terminology, can you just give us a brief definition of what that means? Because I think it also places into context how important David's music and his musicianship was to social justice and various movements.
Oh, definitely. Theo Musicology, you know, the words, they break down to themselves like God's music study of. But it was more than that. It was how faith and social justice interact, and all the songs that are played within that have some sort of social justice aspect. Most of them have a lot of faith aspect, even though Poor People's Campaign was for people of faith and not of faith.
Yes.
And he really got into all those various songs. And he had such a joie de vivre himself. So it wasn't just that he played music,
Yeah.
it was the spirit he brought out and put into the music he did.
Yeah.
And being that he had that life, one of the theme songs, so to speak, of Poor People's Campaign is Everybody's Got a Right to Live. David did a different take on that song. And I believe that's where we're segueing now.
Yeah, and we do have a clip of David playing for our WPFW family to receive.
Everybody's got a right to breathe clean air. Everybody's got a right to drink clean water. Everybody's got a right to eat good food. Say it now, say it loud, say it clear. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live, say it now, say it loud, say it clear. Everybody's got a right to a home. No one wants to be down out and alone. I wish there was a place that I could afford, say it loud, say it now, say it clear. It isn't that the working folks ain't working hard enough. It's just the rich folks have taken all the stuff. They built a system to keep them on top. From the bottom, we're saying that's gotta stop. Everybody, right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. Say it now, say it loud, say it clear. We don't need wars and destruction. What we need is social reconstruction. Build a world where the children can thrive. Keep the planet and the people alive. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. Say it now, say it loud, say it clear. Now when your days are done and your account comes due, there are some basic questions be asked of you. When I was cold, did you clothe to keep me warm? When I was hungry, did you share your corn? When I was homeless, did you shelter me from the storm? Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. Everybody's got a right to live. Say it now. Say it clear. Say it loud.
Bravo, David. Bravo, David. With just a few minutes left, Reverend Adebayo, you know, after having worked with David and, you know, even just still hearing him, speaking and still hearing his organizer's voice. What do you think his motivation was to do all that he did day in and day out for nearly his entire life?
You know, I found out that, you know, David has a quicker history. And I think, you know, that same value that he reflected, you know, throughout his life. Even until his death, I know he talks about, you know, some of his family, you know, quicker connection in New Jersey, where he grew up. As I think about him, one of the things that I value most about people is humility. David was a very humble man, so accomplished, but yet he was as ordinary as all of us are. Easy to get along with, easy to talk to. And let me end by saying that he was a man of great courage, you know, and deep, deep conviction. And I, you know, would like to attribute that to his, you know, quicker upbringing, that he comes to all these struggles not to showcase himself, but to advance, you know, the cause and the goal, you know, of the struggle. We will miss him. Lots of folks in struggle, they die. No one, you know, seems to think much or remember them. But, you know, we at BACC and, you know, at PPC and across the spectrum of all the, you know, social justice movement, you know, even the labor movement, we're still celebrating him. And we will celebrate him for a much, much, much long time, as long as we live. Again, as you said, to his family and to all of us, we pray for peace and hope and joy, especially in this season of the year.
Yes. Thank you, Reverend Adebayo and Mike, for sharing your understanding of who David Mott was and forever will be. Before we go to our next segment, we have a poem recitation in honor of David by Robert Stubblefield, poet and community activist.
The Song of David. With picket sign in one hand and a freedom-loving guitar in the other, and wisdom forged in fire in the mind, an organizer, a fighter, down for the cause, and so kind, now has joined the ancestors before his time. So much work left for him to do, now to be picked by others. For as he said, the cause continues. As long as you pass the baton, the movement goes on. Like his namesake, he composed songs of the people, for the people, and by the people. From this is the scene of a crime for BACC, the solidarity forever for DSA. The sweet sound of the guitar like the harp made the angels weep for justice and fairness in a society that wants to trample and scatter us to the wind. But like a tree with strong roots, we will survive and grow as part of his tutelage and legacy. Now, a lion has now earned his rest. His soul is blessed. An angel has earned his wings. Though we mourn, his praises and name we sing.
David, we love and miss you. Thank you. La Luna Continua. You are listening to WPFW, and we will take a break for community announcements.
This is your social justice calendar for the week of December 22nd, 2025. On Friday, December 26th, from 7 to 9 p.m., there will be a federal retirement workshop specifically focusing on government employees and contractors, grant uncertainty or early exits due to recent cuts, held on 3901 Calverton Boulevard, Suite 130. For more info, visit eventbrite.com. On Saturday, December 27th, from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m., David R. will host a group to meet at Grace Presbyterian Church to assemble and distribute care packages to unhoused people in D.C. Grace Presbyterian Church is located on 7434 Bath Street in Springfield, Virginia. For more information, visit meetup.com and search Help the Homeless. On Sunday, December 28th, from 7 to 9 p.m., Haile Garima and Sankofa Video and Books present Congo on Our Minds in support of raising awareness of the current genocides taking place. It's located on 2714 Georgia Avenue Northwest, D.C. For more info, visit Sankofa.com. Now, the entire WPFW team would like to take a few moments to extend our deepest, most gracious, and sincere thanks to our listener sponsors. Your generosity, trust, and belief in WPFW made it possible to exceed this winter fun drive's goal. So thank you for being the wind beneath our wings for 48 years onwards. And thank you so much again. WPFW's Social Justice Calendar connects you to grassroots activism in the DMV. Submissions can be emailed to socialjustice@wpfw.org. Please include the name, date, and address of the event. This is due by Thursday at 5 p.m., at least 1 week in advance of your event. WPFW's Social Justice Calendar helps build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Thank you, Denise. We continue our program now with Baba Mosey Matsumela and Baba Singhor Baye of the Universal Negro Improvement Association, known as UNIA. And Denise, that was an incredible segment. So again, thank you so much for this segment. Baba Mosey and Baba Singhor, welcome to What's at Stake.
Yeah, greetings, my sister. And let me give our international condolences to Brother David and his family. And then my quick statement would be, as an artist, a musician, I had the opportunity of playing drums and backing up some of his music. Mm-hmm. That blended like so. So his music will be going on forever. So let's continue to live his legacy, his life, and his works.
Amen. Amen. And Baba Mosey, did you want to say something? Because I know you work closely with David as well.
Yes. Everything that's been said earlier, to me, it's true in form and in experience that I've had with David. Reverend said that spoke of his humility. I spoke of his humane sincerity in his approach to what he was doing. His passion, as much as you would say, his humility. He had a passion when he was out there joining him in our demonstrations against what was happening at the cemetery. So I remember him for that. I remember his accompaniment singing with Dr. Karen.
Yes.
And his passion was showed when he was strumming that guitar. You could see that passion that he had. So, I remember that very much about him. He was also humorous. Mm-hmm. He told some stories and that made everybody who was with him laugh, especially when we were in this. At the time when we felt down about what was happening, and we can't figure out what's the next move or what do we think will happen with these folks, we felt the world against us. He would have some humor that would raise our spirit. So I'll remember him for that, and I'll miss him definitely being out there. If we have to do any more demonstrating, I'll miss him then. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, the two men that you just heard speak is Baba Mosey Matsumela, who's president of the Woodson Banneker Jackson Bay Division 330 of the Universal Negro Improvement Association, UNIA, ACLRC 2020, and Baba Singh or Baye, who's the first Assistant President General of UNIA ACLRC 2020, founded, of course, by the Honorable Marcus Garvey. Baba Mosi and Baba Singhor will share the spirit of Kwanzaa this morning and invite our community to an upcoming program. So again, welcome. Why don't we start with where the program will be held and the time, and then we'll repeat that if you like. Or why don't you tell us something about what you're up to, what you're doing for Kwanzaa?
Oh, sure. Well, you know, our NEAR, Kwanzaa NEAR program is an annual program. And for the last 2-3 years, we've been having this program at the Macedonia Baptist Church, and this gathering of people. And it's a nice, cozy place. It's like home when you're there with family. And so, you know, it's an enjoyable thing for all of us. And we're going to be having it there this year again on December 30th. We'll be starting at 6 p.m. And everyone is welcome. Of course, let me give the address again, the 5119 River Road in Bethesda, Maryland. And it's going to be fun for us. We have a program where we have candle lighting, the candle lighting ceremony, the Karumu, which is the feast. We'll be having lots of ethnic food. And, you know, I'm sure everybody's going to enjoy that food. And then again, that food is not for sale. It's free. So you can come out and expect to get some food to eat and enjoy that food as well. So we're having the outstanding Marcus Garvey Outstanding Community Service Awards. I think we have about 8 people that we're awarding. Pardon?
No, I'll pick up where you leave off.
Well, you know, and we're having some African drums. So, Baba Sengor, you can tell us about those awardees.
Yeah, it's very very special time, you know, and I just want to also thank everybody. I hope everybody has had a positive winter solstice, which is to me one of the most important times of all. Today is the last day of that. And of course, we bring in the new sun tomorrow and we segue right into Kwanzaa on the 26th. Well, on the 30th, as Baba Mosi has said, we're going to be back. We are 100% with Bach, with the Bethesda African Cemetery Coalition. So we thought it was appropriate. We always honor our ancestors, but it's most appropriate to honor the ancestors that sometimes have been forgotten. And little girls in particular, but all people who were buried and who are still somewhat being disrespected, we stand firm to change that or to honor the legacy of those ancestors. But Kwanzaa is a time to do that, honor your ancestors and also honor your elders. So we have several people that we want to call their names out so people know. We've been doing this for a long time, by the way. This is not new. But being at Kwanzaa and NEAR and being at Macedonia is always a blessing because we always, and we're going to talk a little bit about our keynote speakers later. But to Yari Cassell, who is an internationally known martial artist. Many people may have known him from his academy that he had here where he was teaching youth. And he practices a ancient martial art culture, Kupigana Ngumi. And he's very, very powerful brother. So Tiari Zasel will be one of our recipients. Aza Zinga, who works with the Adasi group, the Ancestral Diaspora Ancestral Commemoration Institute, and many, many other groups, she'll be honored. Kenneth Carroll, who WPFW is very familiar with Kenneth Carroll. Kenneth Carroll goes all the way back with us in the 80s of the UNIA, and he's a legend in terms of poetry, works with youth, and don't get him mistaken for his powerful son. We're talking about Kenny Carroll Sr., not Junior, but we honor him too. But we're giving Kenny Carroll an award. One of our legendary brothers that of good friends of Baba Mosi and myself and the movement, Brother Bambosi of the All African People's Revolutionary Party, we're honoring him. Sister Yuri Hudgens, a founder of Adasi, the African Diaspora Ancestral Commemoration Institute, also a publicist for Kakaron and many other projects who hails from Trinidad. We're honoring her. We're also honoring Baba Mosi, Evergreen Productions. Not just Baba Mosi, but Evergreen Productions is always with us without our demonstrations at the Bethesda, at the Bach rallies that we have. So we're honoring them because sometime, you know, they'll be with us also doing Kwanzaa, but we're honoring them. And then also we honor Wayne Young. Most people might be familiar with him. He does a magazine here in the District of Columbia. And Sister Mary Greer, who is a sister who's a legend artist on all levels. Her cultural name is Maisa Gara. We're honoring her. And last but not least, we're honoring Keith Easton. So we will be streaming as well. So those that cannot make it out there to enjoy some of that marvelous food that Baba Mosi talked about, because we're known for having good Caribbean and African cuisine. And I know a lot of people come for the program, but people come to eat and socialize with each other. And that's what we do. So we will also be streamed on Facebook, the UNIA Division 330 Facebook page. And we also will be streamed on Zoom on YouTube. So we're making this available to not only those that cannot come, but people even in Africa will be in tune with us to check out what's going on, because it's important for us to celebrate where we are, but to understand we organize locally, we unify nationally, and we come together internationally to return to our traditional greatness. So I'm going to stop and let Baba Mosi finish up, but it's very important for us to recognize this is not something that just started in 1966, or it didn't just start with the founding of the UNIA. This goes all the way back. All the way back. We got more ancestors than us. So it's very important for us not to forget those ancestors whose names we may not remember. And as Marsha always say, you can't honor little girls who were abused and put in the grave. How can you honor yourself? So when we talk about self-determination, Kuja Chakalia, we will never forget those ancestors whose names we may not remember, but we understand that they too are ancestors in the whirlwind with Marcus Garvey.
So you talked about a keynote speaker. Who is the keynote speaker?
Absolutely. The keynote, well, we have another person that's going to speak on Nia. Baba Mosi will talk about her. But we have none other than Reverend Adebayo and Sister Marsha, who are going to be our keynote speakers before we break bread. Because it's important for people to understand, Macedonia is a historical Black institutional church. And not only, they are probably one of the only, if not the only, Black institutions that have survived being out there in Bethesda in the area that we are in. So we're not just honoring the legacy of those ancestors who were desecrated. We're honoring the ancestors who built institutions that Reverend Adebayo and Sister Marsha have kept alive. And you know, Reverend Adebayo, he's born in Nigeria. So when we talk about unity, we're talking about unifying all of us. So we're always pleased to be in the presence of Reverend Adebayo and Sister Marsha, and we want to hail y'all up. I know Baba Mosi is going to do the same thing, for keeping the flame alive, keeping us focused on the real, real struggle that we need to deal with to address the issues of the oppression that many of our ancestors have suffered, and some of us today, or most of us today, are still suffering, because we haven't found out who truly we are. And we always say, one God, one aim, one destiny, one Africa.
Thank you. And Baba Mosi, before you come on, if you don't mind, please allow me to give a quote from the Honorable Marcus Garvey. He said, if we as a people realized the greatness from which we came, we would be less likely to disrespect ourselves. The world today is indebted to us for the benefits of civilization. They stole our arts and sciences from Africa. Then why should we be ashamed of ourselves? Baba Mosi?
Yes, indeed. That's an appropriate quote there. You know, when we think about the Nguzo Saba, which is the seven principles of Kwanzaa, right in the Nguzo Saba, in those principles, You know, it reflects our history, the African history, and the African peoples, and they're coming together, and the unity that is needed. So whatever happens, what Marcus Garvey is saying is that we need to be together for whatever is our aim in bringing our people, redeeming our people. And it's always seems like it's going to be very hard and too much and all that, but we've been at this for over 100 years. We go sometimes back, sometimes forward, sometimes we're marking time, but the struggle continues. And we know that, especially in these times when we have this political anomaly that is, you know, that seems to be frightening to most people, we know that it's always been a struggle for African people, no matter what comes up, and we continue to fight. So this the seven principles is what we can use as a manual for the entire year, for every day, when it comes to maintaining, you know, our peace, maintaining our struggle, maintaining our strength and survival. Because it's been like that for hundreds of years. You know, this and Kwanzaa is an African-American festival. It was designed for those of us who are outside of the continent of Africa. So all those principles is like drawing from the continent what the culture of Africa is, drawing from all that so that we can survive as African people have survived for thousands of years. Now, we may be outside of the continent, but we can survive as those who are in the continent have survived. We were stolen and brought here, but that does not mean that we have to destroy everything that we have as a culture. So this again, if you use the seven principles as that manual for survival, you will maintain that culture. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we don't have to be afraid. We just have to struggle. We just have to maintain our struggle. We just have to maintain our love. We have to maintain our unity. We have to maintain all that is necessary for us to survive economically. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would ask, you know, what is the relevance of the practice of Kwanzaa in this era where we have a president who seemingly takes great pride or, in, you know, joy in humiliating African presidents, such as the president of Liberia, the president of South Africa, mm-hmm. and even going after political leaders like Julius Malema in South Africa. I think both of you are touching on it, but how do we use the practice of Kwanzaa as a tool of liberation? I mean, how do we use that to navigate these very treacherous waters that we find ourselves in today?
So yeah, I'll start on that though. See, Marsha, that's a very important point. But Baba Mosi did touch on it that you know, we're concerned about the righteous movement and upliftment. You know, we stand for the brotherhood and sisterhood, motherhood and fatherhood of the Most High God. So we do believe and are clear, not just from the teachings of Garvey, that we need to go back and fetch it. We need to Sankofa and bring it forward to improve ourselves. So these principles, unity. We need unity of yourself. You need to unify your mind, body, and spirit with yourself. And then you unify with your family. Then you unify with your community, etc., nation, and world. Then Kujichakalia, we must be self-determined all the time, not just doing Kwanzaa, but all the time. These are principles that go all the way back. What Dr. Karinga and others did was do research to find out about the first fruits and harvest. So these principles, Ujima, collective work and responsibility, that's all the time. Ujima, cooperative economics, we must deal with that. Despite what others are doing that are unrighteous or not trying to bring humanity up to its traditional greatness and peace and harmony in the world, we must fight against that. So we moved to Nia. You must know your purpose and where you come from. We as individuals cannot just push our individuality. We're responsible to our mama and baba first. Two, then we're responsible to our grandparents, then our great-grandparents, and all the way back, because we have more ancestors than us. And we are responsible to that because we're carrying on that DNA legacy. Then we come to creativity. We must be creative in how we move forward, how we navigate, how we survive, and how we get over this. We've seen some of our ancestors, like in the cemetery in Bethesda, they didn't get an opportunity to live a full life like we did. They were abused and misused. So we got to think in terms of that, use our creativity to go away from negative music and dress positive music like David did. Okay? Very important. And then last but not least, we're not doing a religious holiday. This is not an alternative to Christmas. Those people that celebrate Christmas, fine. Kwanzaa is an additional time to celebrate 7 days, and we have faith. So it's a spiritual time, but it's not a religious time. So no matter what religion you practice, you can address these principles. And closing, these universal principles go back. We settled the day for projects when it's our ancestors that built pyramids. And I want you to think about that. So there's nothing that we cannot achieve. But once you don't have the proper values, Baba Mosi said foundation, once you don't have the proper values and principles that you deal with all the time, it's difficult to navigate through these times that we face with the chump. I'm not even going to say the total name, the chump. But he's only one out of many who have consistently been oppressing us and brought us here to this continent, which some of our people were already here too. I won't get into that. But brought us from Africa, enslaved us, and still to this day enslave us mentally because we have not practiced the principles. So, Marsha, The straight answer is we must go back to what brought us this far. All of our ancestors did not suffer. All of our ancestors did not accept slavery. They fought against it. That same spirit is with us today. And check it out. The Creator, the Most High, and I know Reverend Shagun knows this very well, made no mistakes. All the mistakes were made by his greatest creation, humanity. So it's our responsibility to find the solutions to correct the mistakes so we blend again with our Most High. And to the young people out there that are listening, don't be afraid. As Baba Mosi said, no matter what they do to us, we will move forward and follow why we were created in the first place.
Thank you so much. Beautifully said. Baba Mosi, we only have 1 minute left. Could you please give the time? Could you please help us with understanding how people can enjoy the Kwanzaa?
You're muted, Baba.
Oh, he's muted, yes. Well, okay.
Okay.
We only have 1 minute.
Okay, well, you can enjoy Kwanzaa by coming to our Kwanzaa Nia celebration over at Macedonia Baptist Church there in Bethesda at 5119 River Road. And you know, it's just a 1 day, but you know, the 7 days you can go other places as well. There's celebrations for every day of the principles of the Nguza Sakwa. So, you know, don't be afraid. Celebrate.
I love that. Well, I want to thank both of you very much for all of your hard work in the community. Your work is absolutely incredible. We look forward to celebrating Kwanzaa and so many other holidays with you and struggles, protests with you. Again, we thank our hosts. We wish our WPFW family Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa, Happy New Year. Thanks to our guests, Baba Mosi, Matt Samela, and Barbara Singhorst, Baye. We thank Reverend Adebayo and Michael. Thanks to our co-host, Denise Young. Thanks to the executive producer, Ms. Verna Avery Brown. This program is engineered by Kalia. I'm Marsha Coleman Adebayo. We celebrate the passage of the No Fear Act 21 years ago. Created to protect federal workers, the first civil rights and whistleblower law of the 21st century. Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year to you. Thank you very much.
Santa, I've been thinking about this lately, and I'm having my doubts about Santa these days. Everybody wants accountability, but there's no accountability for Santa, I have to say. Does he publish an annual report? No, he does not. So anyway, this is about Santa. You better watch out, but you better not cry. Is coming to town. He's making a list and he's checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. Now listen up. 'Cause he sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows when you're away, and he knows if you've been bad or good. So for goodness sake, you better watch out, you better not cry, you better not howl, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
Birchmere presents Derek Cripper and Balake Sissoko, January 14th. Avery Sunshine, January 17th. Will Downing, January 30th and 31st. And Babatunde Hip Hopra, February 1st. Details at birchmere.com.
Greetings and happy holidays. The new year on WPFW will be celebrated in sonic bliss as some of your favorite programmers present the 2026 edition of New Year, New Jazz, our annual survey of the Jazz Year in Review 2025 on Thursday, January 1st from 5 a.m. until midnight. This day will present a delightful and potent mix of favorite 2025 jazz record releases, honoring jazz ancestors who passed in 2025, and music representative of our favorite 2025 DMV live jazz performances. That's Thursday, January 1st, 2026, New Year, New Jazz on WPFW, your station for jazz and justice. Don't sleep.
Celebrate sounds of the season on Christmas Day with programmers Scooter Magruder, Kokolani, Alvin Nedab, and Tony Carr from 8 a.m. until 7 p.m. on WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlist, donate and program schedule and playlist, donate and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in